Scott Parkinson is at the Club for Growth. It has been, to say the least, a very busy week in Washington, D.C. The agenda going forward also very full. We're going to cover a number of topics today with Scott Parkinson. Scott, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back, Loman.
President Donald Trump addressed a joint session of Congress. It wasn't exactly a State of the Union speech, but a joint session of Congress this past week. It was a two-hour performance. What did you think?
For all intents and purposes, it's very similar to a State of the Union, but a president does not have a State of the Union speech in their first year in office. And obviously, this is his fifth year in office, but he knows what he's doing. He's got the experience addressing Congress before. And this week, we had a lone survivor of Doug Collins, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. We had most of the Supreme Court there, most of the House and Senate Republicans. Some Democrats decided to protest the speech by not showing up. Some Democrats decided to walk out on the speech, and Al Green of Texas even decided to raise his cane and get thrown out by the sergeant at arms after disrupting the speech several times in a row. But I think the big takeaway here from President Trump is that we're getting the country back on track. Our national security has been fixed. We're respected once again by other world leaders. And he's making a lot of changes right now through executive actions and orders. And we expect our House and Senate majorities in Congress to get to work and really enact the America First Trump agenda that, you know, serves as the electoral mandate that delivered those majorities. I also think that it's worth noting that, you know, President Trump had a bunch of big time guests that were at the State of the Union, and no matter how sympathetic we should all be to their stories, their personal situations, the Democrats really refused to come together and unite behind any sense of American unity. This was basically a gaslighting performance, I think, by the Democrats, where they had basically bingo cards that said, you know, protect Medicaid, and, you know, this is false, and this is not normal, and all these signs of protests. But, you know, they can't even stand up and you know, clap for a brain cancer survivor, a child named DJ Daniel, who received a badge from the Secret Service director to be an honorary Secret Service agent. And, you know, just a kind of a heartwarming story for those of us that watched the speech. He also had tributes to Jocelyn Nungery's family and Corey Contemporary's family. He was the victim of the Trump assassination attempt that tragically lost his life in Butler County, Pennsylvania.
So it was a spectacular night for Donald Trump, but sadly, we lost a member of Congress either during or shortly after the speech.
Yeah, Sylvester Turner was a freshman U.S. representative, a Democrat from the Houston area. He's a former mayor of Houston. He represented the 18th Congressional District there. And he had a medical emergency at his offices, had been posting video earlier in the night along with his joint session guests, saying that he wanted to protect Medicaid and sort of, you know, putting things out that he was pretty healthy, and obviously suffered an emergency and unfortunately passed away on late Tuesday evening. So, you know, it creates an interesting dynamic, actually, in the House of Representatives, because House seats are not appointed. You have to fill those through a special election. And despite the fact that Elise Stefanik was nominated, I think, in November to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Kathy Hochul over there in New York has refused to schedule a date for the 21st District of New York. And so now we have a couple of vacancies where, you know, you have a Republican governor in Texas with Governor Abbott, and he gets to decide the date of when this Texas special election is going to occur. And then you have a Democrat governor in New York who's going to decide when the special election to fill that Republican seat is going to occur. Meanwhile, the House currently stands at 218 to 214. We've got two more Florida districts that are going to be filled on the general special election of April 1st. we'll have some reserves coming in here, I guess, pretty quickly from Florida to help us along with the tax bill. But we've got a lot of work ahead of us, including a big continuing resolution next week on March 14th.
That continuing resolution, as you just stated, it's just days away that the continuing resolution expires. Where does renewal of the CR stand? Of course, the thought of getting an actual budget is a bit of a fantasy, but another CR?
I think it will be another CR. You know, the question is, what do the Democrats do to try to obstruct? And Republicans are rallying around President Trump right now. President Trump has called for a clean continuing resolution to September 30th. And, you know, that effort would effectively maintain current levels of spending, which are at the so-called Fiscal Responsibility Act spending levels. And it would extend it all the way to the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. The issue here is that you still need 7 Democrats in the United States Senate to go along with this plan, to avoid a filibuster and to invoke cloture to basically proceed to final passage in the U.S. Senate. It's unclear exactly what the Democrats are going to do. They've said that they basically want to neuter the ability of DOGE and Elon Musk on the continuing resolution. That's a non-starter for President Trump and congressional Republicans. What we're going to do is we're going to pass this continuing resolution, a clean one, at current levels that basically continues everything that we've been doing over the last year, including underneath President Biden. And, you know, the Democrats are going to face a really difficult decision on whether they're willing to shut down the government. You know, a lot of the times the Republicans get the finger pointed at them and get blamed for shutting down the government because they want to change this or that on the continuing resolution of the spending bill. You remember the Obamacare shutdown that Ted Cruz helped spearhead way back in 2013, 2014. You know, this is a situation here that the Democrats, I think, don't hold a lot of cards. And we obviously hold both chambers in terms of our majorities. And I'm looking forward for Republican unity to move forward so that we can actually get back to a regular order appropriations process, which would begin in May, where you'll see Congress adjudicate individual appropriation bills and actually exert its power of the purse, sending bills over to President Trump to be signed into law.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a bit about the club.
Well, we are based out of Washington, D.C. We're an economic organization that's united in this idea of freedom, opportunity, and liberty. We have over 525,000 members. You, a listener of Loman Henry's radio show, can actually sign up and become a member for free by visiting clubforgrowth.org.
Hey, we get to give away free stuff on this radio show. Scott Parkinson, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.